it's good to have you all here. Let's just see what the Holy Spirit has, okay? Father, we thank you that you're at work in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good God, a faithful God, and that we can come into the living room, coming into this place, knowing we're loved, Lord, knowing that you absolutely love us and delight in us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The guy that did once the record, he said, I need to start a formal beginning so they know when I start. And so for those of you, do you know, is this the workshop you wanted to be in? It's called Stewarding Your Heart, Healthy Emotional Processing. And so that's what we're going to start with. And I remember when Merle asked me to do this, I was like, yeah, oh, that sounds good. Well, I didn't know. At first, I was like, oh, no, I did. And I'm like, Merle, can I say no to you? Yes, okay. And so I was like excited about it. But when I started preparing, I was on the floor, I think, two or three times the last couple of weeks. I don't know. This is a lot, you know. So I am trusting that the Holy Spirit, well, I do. You do too. We're going to agree the Holy Spirit will tailor make this for each one of you and in learning how to steward your heart. And we're going to start with a story in Judges with Samson, which of all places, starting with Samson. And this one scripture in Samson in Judges 13, verse 25, if you have you don't have to turn with it if you don't want to. 13, 25, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir Samson between Zorah and Eshtaol. And you think, what in the heck does that have to do with emotional health? Well, I do remember back in the 1970s, there was a Bible teacher. Her name was Marilyn Hickey. She was a powerful Bible teacher. So, yeah, Trudy, you'd remember. You know, you do too. And she taught this story about Samson. This is about Samson. And she would say to us, never forget Zorah and Eshtaol. And it was in that place between Zorah and Eshtaol that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and did a deep work in his heart. Now, how many of you know that Samson did not make very good decisions? I have the freedom to say I don't think he was very emotionally healthy. But he had the power of God on him. The Spirit of the Lord was on him. And how many of you know that what we see, and even I know in my own life, you know, I can have just the Spirit of the Lord on me. And we see leaders around us and people around us, the Spirit of the Lord is upon them. But we look at their lives behind the scenes, and there's just a deficiency of emotional health. And I remember when Larry and I, years ago, when we did a lot more teaching and out there in conferences, we'd see these powerful speakers. Now, I want to give you a disclaimer. I was very insecure myself, so I was emotionally not healthy myself. But we would go and listen to these speakers. Larry would be speaking. We'd go in the green room, and I would listen to the talk, and I would be like, holy cow, just the pain and the emotional, I felt very unhealthy things that were coming from these speakers' lives. And it really shook me up. And it also stirred me to say, do I want to be spirit, soul, and body healthy? And to steward my heart. And so it's been quite a journey. There's a scripture in Isaiah, and you don't have to turn to it, but listen to this. But God spoke through Isaiah, and he said this, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, look, I'm placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem. I'll take the measuring line of justice and the plumb line of righteousness to check the foundation wall you have built. He says, you're building a wall. We all are building walls in our lives. We're built, good or bad, we're building. We're either walking in a blessed identity or a cursed identity. He said, but your refuge looks strong. But since it's made of lies, a hailstorm will knock it down. Since it's made of deception, the enemy will come like a flood to sweep it away. That's Isaiah 28:16. Kind of a heavy scripture, but I think what it was a warning is saying, listen, if we build our, we can be powerful. We can just speak, you know, we can be involved in ministry and leadership. But if we are built in the flimsy lies, our base of patterns of anger and striving and competing and comparing, we're gonna be unhealthy. It's gonna show up. There's gonna be a time it's unhealthy. I just read something recently, and it said, unhealthy people don't listen with their ears; they listen with their triggers. And I was like, oh yeah, because I know that times in my life, and it's a journey. But I know times in my life as you know, as God was doing the work in my life, I responded to triggers, things that would trigger me, you know, and I respond with like this, a snake, instead of with a sense of peace. And so I'm just asking the Holy Spirit. There's so much that we could do, but I just felt, because I was going over my notes again this afternoon during lunchtime, and I just said, Lord, where do I even go with this, you know? And I just felt the Lord said, I'm holding everybody's heart right now. That's what he showed me, that every one of you, there's not one he's passing by, but he's cradling your heart. Because there are things, I mean, even there's some things that you know, Danny Silk said this morning that just I almost choked on, you know. I was just like, oh God, you know, especially when it comes to things of approval and things like that. I was like, oh God. And then I just say, Lord, just hold my heart. We're on a journey. With unveiled face, we behold him as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. And we are being changed into that image. Not maybe, but we are being changed into that image from glory to glory. It is a process. It is a journey. It is. And that we give ourselves permission to walk this journey, to see health come into our lives. You know, when you think about guarding your heart, I looked up the word in Strong's Concordance, and many of you know that scripture is in Proverbs 4:23. It says, above else, guard your heart, right? For out of it flow all the issues of life. I mean, that's pretty heavy. And so this, there is something incredibly important for guarding our hearts and managing our hearts and coming in this place. And I will be talking a lot about coming to a place of union with Christ. We are born for union with Christ, brothers and sisters. We're born to walk in union with Christ. And in that place then, he gives us grace, and his transforming power flows through us and works in us. But I looked up that in the Strong's Concordance, that the heart says Strong's Concordance is used very widely for the feelings and the will and even the intellect. So when the scripture talks about the heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, it's really talking about your feelings, the will, the intellect. How many know that Jesus spoke to the heart all the time? The Pharisees said what? Not to do and what? Don't touch. Don't do this. It was always what? What you should do. But Jesus spoke to the heart always. He wrote the why. Why? Why do you do what you do? I'm going to the heart. You can put a Band-Aid on this stuff, and you live with patterns of anger and frustration all your life, and you can try to put a Band-Aid on it. But unless we find out what's going on inside there and see the Holy Spirit do the inner work, we'll live with it the rest of our lives. And so there is this deep inner work, the spirit, soul, and body. First Thessalonians says it this way: Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may you, your spirit and soul and body, they work together. Spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus. So there is a place that I believe that God wants to bring us into, a place of spirit, soul, and body, and learning how to manage our hearts. And Merle said something about that. I'm going to talk about it, stewarding your heart and when people hurt you. Some of that is no-brainers, isn't it? I mean, when I talk about managing your heart, it's based on the Word of God. You know that, don't you? We base our lives on the Word and through prayer. We just manage our hearts. We learn to be thankful. That's a real key, isn't it? And one of the things, like now that Larry and I are in our 70s and been in ministry for years and years, longer than I can count. You know what I see in taking people down more than anything else, I think? There's a lot of other stuff, but it's offense. And the older I get, the more I feel I just have to say, listen, guys, listen. Don't even let a smidgen of offense come in your life. I have seen this over and over again. Good people, they're strong, they know the word, but they take an offense at something. And some of it could be really major stuff that they have to give, ask forgiveness. Some of it's just that someone looks at us the wrong way, or just, you know, someone just says something, you know, but often it's because there's a trigger inside of us, we take offense. And if there's anything to manage your heart these days, we receive grace. In fact, let's do that today, right? Holy Spirit, as you're holding our hearts, as I saw that picture of you just holding everybody's heart. In fact, I see him, he's just massaging some of your hearts. He's capturing them. Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, if there is any offense in our hearts at all, even if we took some offense this today, this morning, at this conference, we let it go. We release it to you, Lord. We receive your grace. We receive your love to let it go and to trust you, Lord. We let go of that offense in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Live in that place. That's one of the ways you manage your heart. You quickly, when you feel offense coming or any little, it says, let no root of bitterness rise up within you. It'll defile you. It's a root, but it starts really small. And I know this is a no-brainer for most of you here, but I have seen it over and over again, haven't we, Larry? Just where offense has taken people just down the wrong path and just away from the Lord even. So it's at that place of in stewarding our emotion, our stewarding our hearts. But in this place, to steward our hearts involves, one of the areas that involves is our processing our emotions. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about processing our emotions, thoughts, and learning how to process emotions in a healthy way. See, I was taught, do you live by the word of God? Do you believe that? Yes. Yeah, it's not a trick question. Yeah, we live by the word of God. I was like, you don't live by your feelings. Yeah, Larry did. You didn't tell me that, did you? Yeah, you did sometimes. Yeah, you did. But you know, you say you live by the word of God. You don't live by your feelings. Yep. I'm not going to allow these, what I'm feeling here, I'm not going to allow it. Yes, Lord, I can do all things through Christ, and I take the word. But what I often did was then I just pushed the emotions down. Now, what you can do, there's two sides here. You can vomit on people with your emotions, or you can just stuff them down. And I believe there is a healthy way that the Lord wants us to work in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit to know how to process emotional things in our lives in a healthy way, to not live by our emotions to the extent that it rules us or drives the bus, but to understand there is a healthy way to process emotions in the body of Christ. And what I've seen, and especially as we're involved with leadership, many times with leaders, and you all are leaders here in some extent, because we got to keep the program going. You know, and we got to look good. You know that's not true. But it's just this, we got to look good, we got to perform, you know. And so we will just like, there's things that we're dealing with, but just like, I don't have time to deal with that now. And so it just gets pushed down. And we've seen this over and over again. And some of our journey. And I two resources I'm going to use when I'm talking about this is, I love Peter Scazzaro's books. Has anyone read Peter Scazzaro's? It's Healthy Emotional Church, Healthy Emotional Leadership. His wife wrote Healthy Emotional Woman. What else? Healthy Emotional Spirituality, maybe? I'm not sure. There's a discipleship, yeah. Powerful. And he was a powerful preacher, a speaker, big mega church in New York City, and a type A person, let's get it going. And but he was incredibly unhealthy emotionally, that his marriage almost fell apart, all this kind of stuff. Can you find a seat? There, okay. So it's and he saw the need. And I'm telling you, there is a need. And again, please hear me, and I'm not talking about, you know, being just navel gazers and doing this ultra introspection. But we got to be willing to say, are we healthy, spirit, soul, and body? And it's a journey, guys, but there is a needs a place. And he said he was so, what he's found so much is so many leaders don't want to take time. And it's a it's a painful journey too. And he talks about how we need to face our shadows. And again, the Lord is holding your heart. This isn't a beginner healing place tonight, today. You know, that's for another time. But he's holding your heart right now, guys. And there is a place. Are we willing to face our shadows? And he says it this way. The fate when we face our shadows is an accumulation of untamed emotions, less than pure motives. Thoughts which largely are sometimes unconscious, strongly influence and shape my behavior. I know what that's like. They may erupt in various forms. They can erupt in sinful behavior, but they can erupt in perfectionism. Now, he didn't say it's wrong to be perfectionist tendency. There's some of us that sit in this room, you're wired that way. You like to get it right, you know, perfect. That's how you're wired. But perfectionism is where you take it to the degree where it rules you, you know, and it's a legalistic rules and all that stuff. We won't get into that, but okay, goes on to say, outbursts of anger, lust, greed, judgmental, bitterness, or these shadows in our lives, it may reveal itself more subtly through a need to rescue others, to be liked by people, ooh, and need to be noticed. It's these shadows in our lives, that how we respond on this journey, that the Holy Spirit just is, he's not out. Like you said, he's not out to get us or punish us. He's out. He is a consuming fire. He is burning with fire to love on us and to just see this stuff in our lives that is holding us back from just coming into wholeness. And so he's going to continue to pursue us and love on us. And Paul was not afraid. Paul was not afraid to look at some of his shadows. He said, I boast in my weaknesses. I said, I boast in my, because I know in my weaknesses, his strength is perfected. I'm not going to perform. I'm not going to try to be something I'm not. Larry and I went through just a real dark night of the soul in the early 1990s. We had a really hard time. You know, dozens of our leaders left, close leaders, good people. We were just on the floor, dark night of the soul. And in that dark night of the soul, it's hard to see where God's taking you. But, oh, that's when he is at most at work often. And I'm not saying that you say, yeah, bring it on, the dark night of the soul. But I'm telling you, it was in that place where we learned just truly to get in touch with what God was doing. And he showed us errors. And Lara, if you have anything to say, please come up. That we learned how unhealthy we were in a lot of emotions. And in fact, Larry often says, what he learned in that time, as God stripped everything away, is Jesus loves me, this I know. You know, and so it's in this place that God has taken us and desiring us to come. Jesus expressed emotion. And I don't have to persuade you that Jesus would, you know, express emotion. He did. He was joyful. He was sorrow. But he somehow knew. He somehow knew how to govern his emotions and commit them to his Father. Because he said, Father, you know, can this cup pass from me? He sweat drops of blood. That was pretty emotional, you know. And he said, Father, why have you forgiven me? That was emotion. But then he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? He said, why have you forsaken me? But he could govern his emotion that he could tell the people, but Father, you forgive them. He knew he brought his emotions under the loving care of the Lord. He named his emotion. John Eldridge says it this way, and I love it. He says, learn to honor your emotions. He uses the word honor your emotions. They don't rule you. I might say that a couple times. They don't govern you. They don't drive the bus. But you learn to honor your emotions. Emotions are not rights or wrongs. They're emotion. Jesus was an emotional being, you know. He had emotions. We have emotions. How can we honor our emotions? How can we cultivate awareness and allow expression and invite Jesus in? And how do you consecrate? I think for me, I have really found it helpful to consecrate my emotional life to the Lord, you know, especially when I'm going through some hard times, you know. It's just recently, our son is living with us and needs to find a place. And, you know, it's a bit of a struggle for me. And I just have had to, you know, and he's 40 years old. So that, so it wasn't like he's a 16-year-old. He's a 40-year-old. And so I've had to just really learn how to, my emotions just go, to just consecrate my emotional life to the Lord and say, Jesus, this is how I'm feeling, but I bring it under your care. But I don't push it down. You know, I want to honor. If I push it down, it's going to come up sometime. Do you know that? It's going to come up sometime or the other, you know. So we learned to govern our emotions, cultivate awareness. We live in a world that is absolutely chaotic. And we have a lot of stuff that are penned up inside of us. I tell you, I'll just be honest with you. During COVID, I was really shocked at the body of Christ. I looked at Larry sometime and I'm like, no, wait, this is 101 Christianity. And yet I saw Christians absolutely fearful, absolutely mad at the government, mad at this, mad at that. And I'm like, no, wait, some of this was just 101 Christianity, how to walk in a place of grace and peace. And yet and it's brought incredible division that I have not seen in most of our years of ministry. And so I think it behooves us to say, God, what are you doing? How can we be people that are whole? And Danny Silks talked to some of this, didn't he? Just going deep with some of these things, to learning how to concentrate. I feel our souls were not meant to carry what most of us carry. John Eldridge says that, and I think it's so good. He says, our souls were not meant to carry what most of us carry. And this is how I process it, and it's really helped me. No matter what season I'm going through, I learn every day, and this is a journey for me. I learn to say, I give everything, and then I stop and just think, boom, 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 okay, you know. And, you know, this is what I'm facing. I give everything to you, Lord. I give everyone, okay, I give my son to you. You know, I give everyone to you. And then I give myself for union with you, because that's what he's after. Jesus is after union. He wants union with us so that he's living through us and working in us. He's a perfect father. Ephesians 4:7 says he's a perfect father. He leads you. He leads us. He guides us. He works in us, and he lives. He works through us, and he lives in us. That's a powerful. Did you catch that? It's just incredible. Of just knowing that the perfect Father lives in us and works through us and lives in us. And so it's in that place that I feel to be emotionally healthy, and again, I'm just scratching the surface here, guys, but to be emotionally healthy, to manage and steward your life as just based on the Word of God, we need to learn how to continually just release things to the Lord. Most of my friends that know me real well, right, Connie? I'm going like this all the time. Lots. I do this a lot. When I'm talking to people, when I'm processing things, belongs to you, Lord. It's just a symbol of just saying, no, I'm not going to carry that. My soul was not meant to carry it. But you carried it. You went to the cross to carry it and to take it. Psalm 68, the psalmist gives us permission to do this. Psalm 62:8, it says, pour out your heart to the Lord. Express your emotions before him. It's a beautiful example. For the Lord is our refuge. So we bring our emotions and are under his care. We bring it in union with Christ. And when I talk about union with Christ, I am the vine. You are the branch. Just remain in me, he said. Abide in me. Remain in me. For apart from me, you can do something. Nope. Apart from you, can do nothing. Nothing. It's a place of union where we live in such a way that we have died, we are hidden with Christ in God, and we're saying, Jesus, you live through me. You do the work in me. I can do nothing without you. And we come into this credible union with Christ, and this is a journey for us. But in that place, I really believe that the Holy Spirit starts working just his love in us. One of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians 3:16. He would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to strengthen, say strengthen, to strengthen you in your inner being. This isn't a put a Band-Aid on some kind of outer stuff. This is in your inner being. Give you mighty inner strength that Christ be more and more at home in your heart as you trust him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and you will comprehend, fully receive how deep and how long and how high his love is. And that word comprehend means fully receive. It's not here. It's just fully receive. And it says, I just think it's so interesting. He says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of his God's Mars. He doesn't say, may you roots go down deep, or may you have more and more at home in your heart, and your roots go down deep in and be filled up with the, how do I say, may your roots go down deep into the soil of his marvelous love. He didn't say, may your roots go down deep into doctrine, even though doctrine is important. But it's interesting that he says, look, I want you to understand. I want you to receive my love. I want you to, that's at the bottom. I want to pour my love in, live love into you. So we allow his love to govern, to heal and sustain us. To be emotionally healthy means a willingness in our hearts for God to do the inner work. And that's why I feel the Lord said he wants to hold our hearts, because this is a journey, isn't it, Shelley? You know, and it's, but are we willing? Will we take the steps? And I know in this room, many of you have taken those steps. But were we willing to say, yes, Lord, you can do an inner work in me. I don't know how it'll be. It'll look different for all of you. For Lair and I, as we went through the dark night of the soul, we went through restoring the foundations. We had some people that just helped us to walk through some of the things in our lives. And it'll look different for all of you. But it's this place where we will allow the Lord to do the work. We at least be willing to say, as David said, search me, O God, see if there be any wicked, or he used the word offense, see if there be any offensive way in me. It's been said, the longest journey of any person is a journey inward. And again, I'm not talking about being crazy, ultra introspective this today, but the longest, it is a journey, this inward journey of allowing God to do the deep work within us. How honest are we when we pray? How honest are we when we pray in a group? How honest are we? Are we praying to impress people? It's things like that, that the Holy Spirit just wants to bring us into a place of just so much. We're in union with Christ, and he works in our heart. He works in our motives and in our hearts, and brings us into a place where we come into a place of freedom. I feel one of the areas also, When I say this, you might go, oh, are you sure, Laverne? I think there's an area of emotionally healthy when we can learn to graciously, I wrote it down, when we can learn to receive the gift of limits, to joyfully receive our 1, our 2, our 7, or our 10 talents. None of us have all of it. The scripture's clear. Now, in Christ, he has no limit. There is no, in grace, there is no limit. But I can do all things through Christ, but I can't do everything. And there's a lot of unhealthy people along, especially around because of leaders, because they don't receive the limit. They're, okay, this is how God's wired me, and I am not going to be like someone else. It took me years. I wasn't this powerful preacher that could just take the word. I'm a relational teacher. I just am, you know, and I've had to learn to really receive that in my life and realize this is how God's wired me. But it took me long. And so I didn't feel good about myself. And I tried to imitate other pastors and preachers and teachers and just in lots of areas of my life. And so there is this place. And again, in Christ, you know, there is no limit for him. But He has given you and I certain gifts and certain talents. He's given some churches certain talents. And listen, this is why sometimes when you come to a conference like this, you know, as a leader or you're part of a church, you're like, you know, why are we not bigger than we thought we were going to be, you know, or that kind of thing. We compare ourselves to another, and instead of saying, you know, what has God put in our hands? What is the gracing on our lives? What is the giftings? What is the bigger picture? And it keeps us into a place of just absolutely health. We can't, John Eldridge says this, we can't fix every emotion. Emotions don't respond to fixing. They're not right or wrong. It's just how we allow ourselves to steward these emotions. They are for the most part, he says this, they are for the most part reactions to our expressions of deeper things going in our hearts and souls. Again, unhealthy people don't listen with their ears. They listen with their triggers. There's something, sometimes there's just these emotions are just their reactions to something deeper that's going on in our lives. And oh, how much the Father, the Shepherd, the Healer wants to go deep in our lives and bring us into wholeness and bring us into a place of coming into a greater place of healing and learning how to practice Sabbath in our lives. That's a big one. Learn how to practice Sabbath in your life. I don't know, it does, you know, practice. Jesus is the Sabbath rest. You can be very busy, you know, but if you, he says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest for your soul. Take my yoke. Get rid of some of the yokes that you're carrying, that we're carrying, that we're not supposed to carry. Trying to be like someone else, or just yokes of trying to do something that we're not called to do. Get rid of those yokes. And the one translation says, his yoke fits perfectly. Stay in that place. And he is the Sabbath rest. But there is a place, and I'm so convinced of this, that we learn how to do physical Sabbath, right? You know, just we learn how to find rhythms and patterns where we actually do learn how to pull back and take time, you know, just to from the daily things of life. And whether it's, you know, a couple hours a week or a day a week or something, just that Sabbath that brings just a real rhythm to our lives. It is God's heart to walk in wholeness, humility, and vulnerability. One area, and I'd just like to talk to you about this, is, and it's interesting, Steve and Mary are talking about how to handle leaders that disappoint you. But how do we handle disappointments in our lives, not just about leaders? I really feel this is one of the things, and in fact, Larry wrote a, did you write a book on it? I don't know. I mean, did you write a book on the deeds of the devil? No, it's just inside the book. It's one of the books. That the deeds of the devil, that most of the times it starts with many of us in the church with disappointment. Would you agree with that? And we don't know how to deal with the disappointment. Praise God, we are a good Christian. You know, we need to, I remember when we went through the dark night of the soul, I just felt so betrayed. Now, some of it was my own immaturity. Some of it was my own unhealthiness. But I remember standing at the picture window in our living room, and I'm like, I'm going to be a good pastor's wife. I'm going to smile. I actually said this. I said, I'm going to smile. But I'm shutting my heart. I'm shutting my heart to people. And I remember that moment. I can still feel it. Sense that the Lord said, Laverne, and gentle as he was, he said, if you shut your heart to the people this way, you will shut your heart in relationship with me. And I remember I went, oh, I did, I gasped. And I said, Jesus, I remember I was, you know, I talked big there. I was like, Lord, if you want me to cut me in a million pieces, I just, you know, yeah. I kind of recanted on that one then. But, and I know there's boundaries. Of course we have boundaries with people. But I'm telling you, unless we learn how to deal with these disappointments, and it took me a couple years to get a hold of this disappointment because I didn't allow myself to grieve. I was just ticked off at people. And I was disappointed in God. And I was mostly disappointed in myself and disappointed in my leadership. And so I just lived with that for many years till the Holy Spirit just started taking those reproaches away, and I started allowing the Holy Spirit to do the inner work in me. And so one of the ways to deal with disappointment, learn it quickly if you're young, is learn how to grieve. Learn how to face it, face that emotion of disappointment instead of, wow, I'm this good Christian, I gotta look good. No, grieve. And Peter Scazzera says it's one of the greatest things he's learned, one of the major things he's learned in the church, especially leaders, is we don't know how to grieve. We're really afraid to grieve. And I'm not talking about going weirdo, you know, or just, you know, you just our emotions take us away. But there is a place where I had to grieve that it didn't turn out the way I thought. And I had to really grieve that and let it go. And many times I would say, Lord, it's a loss. It's a loss. I'm going to face it. It's a loss. And I'd hand it over to the Lord. I know one of the things is I'm a pastor. I thought I was going to marry and I'd see the babies born in the church, marry them and bury them. That's how I lived. I mean, I loved pastoring. And then Larry Thank you, Lord. His apostolic work took us traveling all the world, and I was constantly releasing people, constantly. And so he was so, he never said, Laverne, get over this, you know. I had to deal with it. I had to, this wasn't what I thought. I would have been just happy. And those some of you that are pastoring are like, oh my goodness. You know, it's not that easy. But I just, that's who I was. And I just thought, oh, I would stay in the same little church, you know, and we would just love people and disciple people. And my life wasn't like that. It was continually traveling and discipling and releasing people. But Larry allowed me. At times when I'd say, Larry, I'm sad. You know, he said, he let me talk. He let me process it. You know, and here I am, 73 years old, and I'm great. I'm fine. You know, but it's taken me. And once in a while, it'll come up. You know, it's just like, oh, that was something I thought I was going to be doing, but I'm doing it in a different way. You know, but it's learning how to hold this, learning how to grieve, learning how to release the disappointments to the Lord, receiving grace in our lives, and knowing that I want to share with you this. I'm not sure where I got this, but it says there's a research on how people burn out. It says slow and steady accumulation of disappointments that leads to emotional burnout. The slow and steady accumulations. It reveals that the progressive onset of burnout is connected to the building up of little disappointments. Not big disappointments. Little disappointments. A little bit here. A little bit there. Oh, praise God. We got to go on. You know, I'll be okay. I'm going to smile. I'll be okay. I'll rejoice in the Lord. And of course, we will rejoice in the Lord. But those are the moments. Those little disappointments. Whether it's in your disappointment in your church, the work, disappointment in how you look, disappointment in your friendships. It's learning to say, I'm going to look at that, and I'm going to lay it before you, Lord. It's a loss. This wasn't exactly what I thought. And I'm going to receive grace now in this place for you to process it. Peter Scazzera says there's so many leaders that are not healthy because they're not willing to do this. To process their disappointments. And sometimes we need someone to help us. But sometimes it's just going before the Lord and just being real and honest and learning how to release it and receiving grace, walking in thankfulness, finding releasing things to the Lord. Because if we don't, this is what will happen. We will get cynical, just slowly. There's a lot of people sitting in church that are cynical these days. Cynical, there'll be a hardness of heart will set in, we'll be suspicious, we'll close our hearts, just like I was that close to closing my heart. And the Lord said, you know, now Laverne, you keep your heart open, you keep it tender, you'll have your boundaries, but don't shut your heart, because I'm cradling your heart, because I live within you, you're in union with me, I'm loving people through you. And I know that sometimes we all have different journeys with that, and sometimes it's a bit painful. But there's a place that I feel the Lord wants to absolutely understand how to deal with our disappointments. Another disappointment is I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor, and when people leave Dove, these are my people. You know, I just you know, a pastor's like, and I just was like, oh my goodness, and I after a while, I'm just tired of it because so many people left. And so I was tired of it. She's like, Lord, we belong to the kingdom of God. And that's right. And so I'm not going to take this personally. But over the years, I found that I did. It was little things deep down there, and it would trigger when someone would leave. I'd just like something would trigger inside of me. And so I've learned to be just really open with God, you know, when someone left our, you know, when we were pastoring and we were at church, just be open with God, share my disappointment, express the loss, grieve a bit, you know. And so these are just some personal things that I have found. I have found, and this is just me, and maybe it won't connect with all of you, but I went to, years ago, I went to a silent retreat. Yeah, I did. I went to a silent retreat and didn't talk the whole weekend. They did. Billy, why are you laughing? And so we did have, we did a teaching, but in the silent retreat, we had times of just waiting on the Lord. And they taught us something I have used now for 15 years. It's been so helpful. They called it the welcoming prayer. And it's learning how to daily, when things come and trigger you or things come your way, to look quickly, pause. Because they said most people in the church, when they feel things like this, oh, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't be feeling this. No, something makes you angry, something, you know, someone did something, okay, you can say, this sucks, you know, excuse my French, but you could just say, oh my goodness, this is what I feel, Lord, and just sit with it. I'm driving down the road, and just like, oh my goodness, something just hits me, and I'll just say, this is how I feel. I'll sit with it. And then I'll say, Holy Spirit, you come into that place. I welcome the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's not afraid of this. the scripture says, Psalmist, the darkness is light. Light is to God. And so he's not afraid of these dark areas. He's not saying, get yourself together. He's like, yep, I knew it was there anyhow. So he's like, okay. And I say, Holy Spirit, come into this area. And then there's three things I say. And Danny Silk talked a bit about it. One is control. That's the big deal. Most of us want to control. If we can't figure things out, especially shame, if there's shame in our lives, I'm naked, I was afraid, and I hid myself. Shame, fear, control, that we'll walk in that place of just needing to control. I got to figure this out, or I got to start looking good so people don't, if they really knew what I'm like inside, they wouldn't love me. So what I'll do, and this takes 2 minutes, and you do it in faith. But I'm telling you, day after day, week after week, God takes you into a new place. And then I'll say, in the name of Jesus, I let go of my desire to control. It's a step of faith. That's all I say. Lord, now I'm dealing with this. I'm feeling this emotion. I welcome the Holy Spirit in. This is real stuff. This is stuff that you feel when you're driving down the road, when you're at the computer, you know, when you're out for lunch. Stuff that you've, and I say, I let go my desire to control. And then I say, second one is I let go of my need for approval in anything except I'm approved by Jesus. I'm approved. Jesus, I'm loved. Papa God loves me. Just reminding myself. And the third one is it's control, approval, and security. These are three that just are big on my mind. I let go. Often I add rejection too, because that's a big one with me. I let go of my desire to find security in anything. Because in those times when I feel like, oh, out of control, or just, I want security, don't I, in something. And I just say, I let go of my need to find security in anything but you, Jesus. So it's a little tool in your tool belt to learn how to process the daily stuff in our lives so that they don't take over in our lives. And it's a step of faith. I'm telling you, if you take this step of faith, day after day, maybe once a day, three times, maybe five times, maybe 100 times a day, you say, I let go. I tell you, God's going to do the work. He's going to take over. You're going to come into greater union with Christ because you're in this place of not my will, but your will be done, Lord. I can do nothing without you. That place of I let go of all control. Lord, you're at work. You're at work in my life. You are a perfect Father who leads me and works through me and lives in me. And so it's a credible place of, is it soon time? I have 9 minutes yet?
No,
45. Okay, I'm closing up then. Thank you. I don't feel like having a watch here or anything like that. Thank you, Larry. I want to talk about something here at the end that I believe can be really healthy emotionally. And those of us in the charismatic movement don't like to hear this because we're like, what? We're supposed to rejoice in the Lord always, right, Lizanne? We're supposed to always rejoice. But it's learning how to be healthy in life, learning how to lament. Do you know that there's a whole book in the Bible? What's it called? Yeah, Lamentations. The scripture, Psalms, there is lamentation. I wrote it down. Psalms 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 10, 13, 17, 22, 25 to just begin. Those are lamentations. Those are scriptures of lamenting. David knew how to lament. Now, let me tell you, I'm not talking about complaining. Complaining's a killer. Complaining is highly irreverent. It's a sin because it's saying, God, I know better than you. And it's saying, I don't believe that you really can work in my life. That's complaining does that. But lamenting is a cry. It's a cry to a good God. It's a belief in a good God, a God who hears our hearts, a God who transforms us, a God who understands our griefs and disappointments and our what we're going through. He's acquainted with the human heart. He understands it. You know, he understands what we're going through in our hearts. And so it's that place of lamenting that we experience, learning how to experience lament. I have found this very helpful. I feel that a lot of times when we learn how to lament, again, it is not complaining. We learn how to lament. We don't carry the cares of the world. We pour them on. We are not, our souls were not meant to carry what many of us quite carry. And that place of lament just takes us into that place of, Lord, I believe that this is how I'm feeling, but I'm giving it to you. And it'll look different for each one of us. But you know what is so interesting? In the middle of Lamentations, this is what the scripture says. In the middle of a lamentation, it says, the Lord's loving kindness never ceases. His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. I have hope in him. So don't be afraid of lamenting, because he is faithful. And it brings you into a really healthy place with just in an emotional way. And in closing, I just encourage you to the importance to find community and counsel. Counsel, the scripture says, you know, confess your faults one to another and you will be healed. Community, counsel, you know, find a group that you can share your heart with. Get the help you need. I mean, Larry and I, we went to get restoring the foundations. We went, we did what we could to see us become healthy and whole in our lives. The Lord understands. You know, he's not without understanding, right? He understands. Find rhythm. Receive grace. Grace is a weekend of great grace. You know, and so we're just gonna have a couple minutes here, and I want you to. I just need to be close to you guys, but I have to. I want you to think now, and listen. If you say this don't make sense to me, Laverne, just then think of something else. Look outside or something. But anyhow, I would like you to think of a disappointment you have right now, or an emotion that you're feeling. And let me tell you, you come to a conference like this. There's emotion. I hear that. I talk behind the scenes. And I know some of you come and you're introverts and you're like, oh my goodness, I just feel I'm just a failure. And you know, you just feel these kind of things. There's all kinds of stuff. And I would just like us to practice the welcoming prayer. Could we do that? I just would ask you to just, what is the emotion you're feeling right now? And again, if you are just absolutely, nothing's worried you, nothing's bothered you, you know, just check me out. But I would like us to practice this. So let's just pause. Holy Spirit, you're always at work in our lives. And Lord, you care. You care so much. You want to see us whole, spirit, soul, and body. You want to see our emotions under your care. And Lord, there's things that sometimes we don't know what to do with our emotions. And we're not going to push them down, but we're not going to vomit them, Lord. So is there something? Just take a moment. What emotion are you feeling? Just sit with it. A couple seconds. Name it. Honor it. Don't push it down. Honor it. And now welcome the Holy Spirit into that place. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you're dealing, Holy Spirit, come into that place. You're not afraid of that. Just let His light, the light shine. In Jesus' name. And now in the name of Jesus, this is a step of faith. I want us to say, and I'm going to repeat it, and then you repeat it, that in Jesus' name, I let go of my desire to control this situation or this emotion or whatever I'm feeling. Can you do that? Just say, in Jesus' name, I let go of my desire to control in the name of Jesus. And I let go now my desire to find approval in anything but you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. And I let go of my desire to find security in anything but you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you for this tool in our tool belt. We leave here. We leave this conference. We feel an emotional stuff when we go home or even driving down the road, that we can learn how to quickly release these things to you. Welcome the Holy Spirit in and then let go of any control, any desire to find approval. Because we know we are loved and approved by you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. In summary, and I'm closing up. The guy said I need to kind of close up and make sure I'm closing up. In summary, we face our shadows. Are we willing to face our shadows, however that is? He's holding your heart. He's holding your heart. He's captured it. Are we willing to face our shadows? Are we willing to acknowledge and honor the emotional things that we feel, to be healthy emotionally, and then consecrate them to the Lord through prayer, through reflection, through the Word of God, through a Sabbath, you know, just the different things that I was talking about, being thankful. Seek wisdom in the Scriptures. Seek wisdom in the Scriptures. Let me tell you, there's many times that I'm really dealing with something, and I'm like, see, the Scripture says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. It's not eating or drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And there's times I'm like, what the heck? Why am I allowing this to steal my righteousness, peace, and joy? How many of you know that can, you know? I remember one time I was so upset about, I tell this story, so upset about my weight. And I was like, oh, I was lamenting. I don't know. I was complaining about my weight. I want to lose weight. And Larry goes, you mean you're going to lose your righteousness, peace, and joy of a hunk of speck? And he is being very facetious. But it was just like, are we going to lose our right? The kingdom of God is righteous, peace, and joy. If you find yourself losing your righteous peace and joy, your joy and your peace, then something needs to be released. Something needs to say, Jesus, I give it to you, you know. And that, I found that to be really helpful, to stay in this place of peace. And of course, accountability is so important. Finding rhythm, work, worship, rest, and play. However that works for you, find rhythm in your life. Jesus, and so much of this I wrote down here, rhythm has to do with timing. When to engage, when to disengage. When to be set apart. Jesus knew when it was time to go to another town. He knew when he needed to be alone. He knew when he needed to be the 3, the 12, the 40, or the 5,000. There's this rhythm, and let me tell you, this is a journey. But I tell you, rhythm is so important in our lives. Learning to find that work, worship, rest, and play in our lives. Finding that Sabbath, you know. So, Father, we just close up here and we say, you are at work in our lives. You are such a good God. You want to heal us, fill us, spirit, soul, and body. You want to bring us into a healthiness, a wholeness. That is, whether no matter what kind of leadership we're involved in right now, we're real. There's not a facade. We don't have to fake it till we make it. But there's a wholeness. There is a sense of honesty in our hearts and authenticity. Oh, you're after that, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you for this work. Continue to hold our hearts, Lord, in the next hours throughout this conference. Hold our hearts. Work in us that which is pleasing in your sight. You are a good shepherd. You equip us and you work in us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.